It's your daily dose of Donna, and today is Wednesday, March 27th. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day for all of you out there that celebrate. This is going to be a show filled with a recap of two of the, how do we describe VPR and Valley these days? We're going to talk about both of them, the V shows. We're going to talk about some crazy, like, pretty dark news in the Bravo reality, Netflix news. We're going to get into all of it and more on today's Daily Dose of Donna. Don't worry, I said it's dark, but we're going to always have some fun. This is Daily Dose of Donna. I love like dancing to my opening song. Welcome, you guys. Thank you so much for being here, everyone. Some of my favorites are already in the comments. As always, it is so motivating to get on here every single day and give you a good show. Welcome to the show. How is everyone doing today? I'm trying to think if anything really crazy or exciting happened to me in the last 24 hours. And honestly, no. Like, honestly, no, which is kind of how I like it. Let's be real. I think these days when you're in your 40s, you're like, oh, if it's a boring day, it's a good day. Just kind of getting through the week. We have some really crazy things happening in the next couple of weeks. This weekend, we're going to this big gala for our school. And then next week, we are leaving town to go to Palm Springs for a short little spring break getaway. So, of course, make sure to follow on Instagram if you want to be part of all of that. You guys, today we're going to be releasing me and my sidekick here, which is basically my like bubbly water because I don't have a sidekick. We're going to be releasing a new Patreon episode. It's going to come out later today, and it's good, you guys. We're going to talk about what really happened behind the scenes at Luann's show. I know a lot of you guys thought that what I told you on the show here was the full story, but it isn't. I just didn't want to share all the like real details. I will later. We also are going to talk more about P. Diddy because I went on a deep dive rabbit hole. Thank you guys so much for sending me all your, you know, TikToks and videos that you guys watch. I went like real into it last night. We're going to talk about J-Lo. There was this crazy article that came out on USA Today. I don't know if any of you guys saw it about J-Lo, like why people don't care about J-Lo, even though she's doing all this documentary and stuff. We can talk a little bit about the Andrew Huberman hit piece. If you guys know the Huberman Lab, he is a very big podcaster, got famous from being a guest on Joe Rogan. I think it was a big old dud, meaning they tried really hard to make it something and I don't think it landed. So we'll get into that and just this whole idea of like hit pieces and trying to take people down. Whenever anyone is a little famous, it's like try to find anything wrong with them in any like capacity that has nothing to do with why they're actually famous. So we'll get into all of that and more. So subscribe on Patreon. Make sure to do that. Before we get into the show, I want to shout out my sponsors. I would love to mention that this show is sponsored and brought to you by BetterHelp. Give online therapy a try at betterhelp.com/Donna. That's D-A-N-A. And get on your way to being your best self. What's the first thing you would do if you had an extra hour in your day? Would you go for a run? Would you take a nap? Would you read a book? Would you show up for a friend? Would you watch The Valley? Would you go to Jax's Studio City? Oh, I have a story about that. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. But the question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? And the truth is, so many people feel like they are lost in life. Like they don't really know what to do with themselves. They're just feeling like they're lacking that thing. Like Kyle Richards is lacking that thing, you know, which is why she buys Birkin bags, I believe, and hats. Remember, we talked about this. She's a collector of things. So think about what would be the right, you know, thing to add to your life to make you happier and more fulfilled. And if you're thinking of starting therapy to help you do that, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible and suited to your schedule. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Jonna today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Donna. Okay, let's get into the first story. Now, like I said, some of the stories today have a little bit of a dark undertone, and I don't want to do that, but it is news in this space, and I do feel like it's important to just like kind of talk about. So the first piece of news came out yesterday, and whoa, this is pretty intense. And, you know, trigger warnings for a lot of these stories today about physical violence and like spousal physical violence. It's really, really dark. Shots of Sunset was a show that we all watched. I mean, so many of you guys watched it. I loved it. It felt like I was watching a high school reunion, because I've told you that I went to Beverly Hills High School and it's like 70% Persian. So I always felt like a weird connection to Shots of Sunset. Also, do you know if you have like, if you're going through a time period, like a period in your life where you're feeling a little bit like you need that extra, I don't know, happy thing in your life. For example, during COVID, right? When we were all stuck in lockdown, do you have that one show that you started watching during COVID that you watched every single episode, you became like obsessed with, and that you'll, it will always bring you back to that time? Mine was Summer House. My experience of Shaws of Sunset is when I just had my babies. Like when my babies were young and I would watch Shaws of Sunset like at 5 a.m. when I would wake up to pump or whatever. And it just always gives me that happy feeling. So I loved Shaws of Sunset, although I'm going to be, you know how I am. Okay. And I'm just going to say it right now. Today, you're going to get a ton of opinions from me. You're not just getting the news. You're getting my opinions. You may not agree with my opinions. And I'm okay with that, because that would be crazy if you all agreed with my opinions. But just know that you're getting my opinions. It's not a reason to come at me and yell at me. Okay, we all can just have different opinions. But that being said, I thought that show got incredibly dark and depressing. I can't stand Gigi. Personally, Golnessa, whatever her name is, I can't handle her energy. I couldn't stand watching her. Maybe it's because she reminded me of specific people that I went to school with. MJ. MJ is someone that I struggle with too. Just going to be honest. I told you guys this before, even on The Traitors. Can't really connect with her. I thought Reza was good TV. I'm trying to think. I actually liked Nima on the show. And sadly, I really liked Mike Showhead. So Mike was like the leading guy. It was Mike. It was Reza. And it was a couple of the other dudes that I can't even remember their names. There was like Nima. And then there was that really good looking, you know, tough, like strong guy. What was his name? He was like really good looking, buff, never had like a relationship with anyone. Asa was the other girl, also didn't like her. Like the personalities, I'm just going to be real. The personalities were triggering for me. And it's, oh, Shervin, thank you. And it's maybe because I went to school with them. Like maybe that's why. But individually, all their personalities drove me insane. But as a show, it was a good show. Mike was my favorite of the guys, I think. Because when we were watching it, we didn't realize that he had this side to him. So I'm just going to tell you the story and then I'll go back. But basically, the Shaws of Sunset alum, and we've heard already now for a while that there's been some drama around him. His ex-fiance, her name is Paulina, sues him for vicious and brutal DV attacks, domestic violence attacks, okay? His ex-fiance, Paulina Ben Cohen, reveals for the first time the alleged horrifying abuse she experienced at the hands of the disgraced Bravo star in this lawsuit that Page Six obtained. She basically says that in March 27th, 2022, they got into an argument over a hookah. This is really what, that's all I can, you know, that's like end of story. You have, number one, you have a hookah. Okay. Number two, you're arguing, like what were they arguing about? I want to know, like, it's my turn on the hookah. You had the hookah last night, or like, you always choose the hookah over me, Mike. Or maybe it was like, I don't like that strawberry flavored tobacco. I want the other kind of, you know, I don't know. Don't hookah in the house. I told you no hookahs around here. It sounds like you're something else, you know. Anyway, she says the alleged abuse reportedly began in verbal form with her then fiance yelling that she was a horrible mother, an effing, I don't know if I should even say these words, but it rhymes with chore and a piece of S word, shite, a piece of shite. Okay. Verbal fighting is real bad. And I think we can all agree that verbal abuse is horrendous and very, very damaging. Although I do find it more common probably in relationships, but when it gets physical, and I'm not saying in any way that verbal abuse is like, okay, so don't, I know a lot of people get imply things from what I'm saying. No, or assume things from what I'm saying. Listen to my words. I am saying none of it is okay. I just think when you see a physical altercation between a man and a woman, that is a whole new level. So essentially, it went from a verbal argument to a more heated argument. She asked him to leave their home, which they share with her children from a previous relationship. She began to pack his things. He allegedly became physically violent. She claims in the suit that the Shahs of Sunset alum ran into the room, forcibly grabbed her hair and her shoulder, and violently threw her to the ground. But this is the craziest thing, is that in the complaint, there's these screenshots of security footage that corroborate with her stories. And essentially, in her closet, it looks like a closet. There's like tons of clothes. It's a really a bedroom, but it looks like a closet. And he's just throwing her all over the place. And then also in a really small kid's room, like a little, probably a five-year-old's room, it looks like, with like toys. I don't see any kids present, so hopefully no one was there. But it's just like, it's bad. It is not something you ever want to see visually from a man going at a woman this way. He said he told Ben Cohen that he would never leave their California property until she paid him for half of it. He then allegedly continued to physically abuse her by putting his hand over her face and trying to suffocate her several times as she struggled to breathe. How scary. And he's like a big guy. He's like a big buff guy. She tried to call 911. He said that he made it seem as he were to strike her again. And then the complaint alleges that he threatens to kill her at one point, tells her he has a hitman who would put her away. It went from the bedroom to the children's playroom. None of the kids were there. A nanny was there with them in a separate room. Oh my God, that's even worse that the kids were home during this. Just awful. Apparently this happened over two other times, and he like lots of physical attacks. And then apparently she called for the nanny who went into the room and asks him to leave, but it angered him further. Apparently then, allegedly, he went to go get his firearm, at which point the police were finally called and arrested him. So, okay. Apparently, this is not the first time that this kind of an incident has occurred. He is really, truly someone that I think is a hothead. We've seen him get angry before. I remember with his ex-girlfriend on the show, or fiance, Jessica, I think was her name. There was like stories about that. One time there was an incident where he was allegedly furious that his sexting situation with another woman was revealed on Shahs of Sunset. And so then he took his anger out on this woman, Paulina, allegedly at this time. So this was years ago. He put a gun up to her head, told her he was going to K her while making statements like, you think you can destroy me? You think you can destroy my reputation? Not even my ex-wife ruined my reputation the way you did, the complaint alleges. And the ex-wife is, of course, that Jessica girl that we knew. He says stuff like, tonight is the night I'm going to kill you. What the F? Okay, so this is really, really dark. It definitely is not a small deal. It is a huge, huge deal. And this guy is disgusting. Now, what's crazy is that in July 2022, he was charged with 14 criminal charges, including domestic violence, but was able to cut a deal with prosecutors by agreeing to take anger management and parenting classes. Looks like it worked. Not. As well as complete a gun safety course and community service. He was also barred from owning or possessing a firearm until he finished the program. Okay, this sounds crazy. So we all kind of knew, and this is that whole thing with like P. Diddy, when there's smoke, there's fire. We've all seen rumblings that he is a violent, aggressive person. But what is such a weird juxtaposition for me is, if you remember the show, and I told you that I went to elementary school, kindergarten through high school with his family members, I think it's his younger cousin, and they were all very close. So I feel like a little bit of a weird kinship with that family, but his mom was so kind and sweet. And I don't know if you remember this. There is like an element that makes me just feel really strange about this, because a big storyline was the fact that he didn't feel like he was good enough for his parents. I don't know if you remember this. His brother was a very successful dentist, I want to say. And so Mike's storyline for the first few seasons, and by the way, Miss Robinson says he was so cocky and aggressive, I can't believe he was your favorite. I don't think he was my favorite throughout the show. I just think at the beginning of the show, when I started watching, I was like, well, he is to me like a catch. He seemed to me the first couple seasons, I'm sure you guys felt that way too about him, he did not seem like an unlikable character until later. But I feel, Mark says, what? Mike's shoe business didn't take off? Shocked. Yeah, Mike felt like he was just always trying so hard to impress his parents and his mother especially. Do you remember that? Like, that's ingrained in me. I remember exactly what his mom looked like. I remember how everything he wanted to do was to go back to his parents when it came to his construction business, his development business, his clothing business. I mean, it felt like he was living, and that's like a therapy issue. I feel like anytime you have a man that is desperately trying to gain their mother's approval, there is some sort of like arrested development situation in there. Just because I was listening to Shalene Johnson's deep dive on Dave and Rachel Hollis, you know, my girl Shalene Johnson on her Patreon, I've talked about this before, but Dave Hollis was the same. Like, he lived his life. And if you guys don't know who I'm talking about, it's a long story, but he was an influencer married to Rachel Hollis, who incidentally just got engaged. She just got engaged to her boyfriend, now fiance, which is crazy. But okay, side note, that's like where my brain goes. Everything, like all roads lead back to the Hollises and Jeff Lewis. So Dave Hollis keeps talking about in his life before he died, and he had like major addiction issues and anger issues and like all those things, allegedly. He talked about the fact that everything in his life was like about getting kind of rewarded for anything he had done positively. Like, he really reaped he needed people to approve of him. Does that make sense? And everything went back to that. So whenever you have a man that is dying for kind of almost validation through achievement, especially with their mother at that age, I think it's a little bit of a red flag. It's interesting. Anyway, F him. And may he like go to jail at this point. Clearly, he's not listening to his anger management issues. This is like if you compare it to, you know, an alcoholic or someone that is like drunk driving and keeps doing it over and over, and then they go to, you know, alcohol classes or whatever, and then they do it again. It's like enough is enough, right? Okay, let's move on to another kind of dark story. I promise you we'll get into like more fun stuff, but this is what's in my news feed today, and I just think it's interesting. Christine Quinn, we talked about this, how her husband, this is Selling Sunset star, her husband got arrested two times within 33 hours last week because he allegedly threw a bag with a glass bottle at her, which then hit their two-year-old son, got arrested, then had a restraining order or a like non-contact or whatever, and came back to the house, got arrested again. Well, now it's revealed that her ex-fiance, Christine's ex-fiance, filed for a restraining order against her after multiple huge blowouts, as it's revealed that her current husband, Christian Richard, is seeking protection. So she was engaged to a fine art dealer in 2014. His name was Matthew Wiltsy. And they had a series of furious rows, very, very intense arguments and all those things. And it sounds like at this point, it's now getting released that she had a temporary restraining order against her from her ex-fiance. That pair, who met and quickly got engaged, hit rock bottom after she learned of his tax debts and fraud. Following a series of rows, I love how this is like definitely written by a British journalist. Following a series of rows, like you would never say that in America. You would say following a series of arguments or fights. And not long after their lavish engagement party, on July 27th at the $4 million LA home that they shared, Quinn threatened to take out a restraining order against him, but he filed first on August 6th. So she told him that she needed an engagement ring that was 10. This is crazy, you guys. She told him that she needed an engagement. Oh, it's row like cow. It's a row. Wait, Ray, what? It's not a row. When you fight with someone in England, it's not a row, it's a row. My mind is blown. Okay? My mind is blown. I'm dead over this story. Okay. So they had a row. I can't. This is crazy. So she told him that she needed an engagement ring that was 10 carats, so was a little upset when he got her an 8-carat ring. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. I'm really, really, I now want to throw the story in the trash. You got me an 8-carat ring instead of a 10-carat ring. I'm going to file a restraining order. I'm not thinking that that was the fight, but essentially they got into a huge fight over and over. Lots of rows. And she told him that she was going to get a restraining order against him. Okay, here's my take from this. I don't want to make a judgment on Christine, but it's clear that she either needs a new picker. She's picking men that she has these intense, crazy arguments with, which is just bad. Or she's a hothead and it escalates situations with others, or, you know, so on and so forth. It just goes to show it ain't a healthy home, whatever it is. It does feel a little bit, filled with rows. I can't get a, when I think of the word rouse, I think of arouse, like R-O-U-S-E. So this is, forget Christine Quinn. Did you guys know that it was pronounced row? All right, let's move on because I'm looking, I have a hard out today. So I got to move past the stories a little bit faster. This is a nutty, nutty story about what's happening in New York City right now. I don't know if you guys are seeing this, but this is crazy. If you are on TikTok, this is showing up in your feed. There are young women, all of them that have come forward seem to be in their 20s, maybe early 30s, who are walking through New York City and randomly getting punched by a man. Now, you think that this is like a fake story. Actually, the first one that I saw, the first TikTok that I saw, I thought to myself, this has got to be a fake story. Like, this can't be real. Someone's just trying to get like views or whatever. It was so confusing to me. And then because it was a very short video, it didn't really go into the deal. And then I realized, like, as my algorithm kept going, that this is happening pretty regularly. In fact, I've seen 8 videos myself of different women who have come forward now. I think through other people coming forward, they felt a little bit more empowered to come forward as well. And allegedly, according to one of the girls, she got videotape of him walking away. He looks like a little bit mentally off, clearly. And I don't know if this is the same man. I don't know if all the women have kind of connected. They should and talk about like descriptions of what this man looks like. But whatever this is the most insane thing. Like, I just can't even imagine walking down the street, minding your own business, and then out of nowhere getting punched by a man. I can't think of anything that is more, well, I mean, I can, but this has got to be the most traumatic experience as a young woman to be like sucker punched by a stranger out of nowhere in the middle of the day on a crowded street. I just can't believe it. I mean, I can believe it, but I can't believe that this is what our world is. Like, it's actually pretty crazy. Mark says that it happened also in his neighborhood in Chicago. Here it was one guy. Bridget said most are on their phones. So it seems to be like a lot of times this is happening with women that are not paying close attention, maybe if they're texting and walking, or, you know, when you hear on your phone, it's not phone to ear walking straight. It's usually looking at something else. This one woman's video that I saw, she says that I almost got punched by this man. I was walking, but because of the news, I'm so aware of what's happening that I'm really, truly, like, you know, I'm keeping my distance. She said she saw a man who looked a little kind of aggressive, and she's scared. And so she walked to the other side of the sidewalk, not across the street, but just the other side of the sidewalk, out of arm's distance in case he decided to, I don't know, come out of nowhere and sucker punch her. And so she walked to the other side of the sidewalk. She's walking. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he came over to her, aggressively grabbed her arm, which is like, that enough is, or shoulder, that enough is assault, like turned her body so that he could punch her. And she ran. And I guess there was these other women around there that were kind of helping her, but she got a little footage of him. This is so scary. And it really reminds you to look up when you're walking through the streets, because I do this too. Like, even when I'm walking my dog, how often are we doing this when we're walking? And that's why you see people like walking into trees and we have to be alert. So that's why if you're walking right now, listen to my podcast. Do not be texting. Listen to my podcast. Listen to things. Put an AirPod in or whatever, you know, headphone. And that's why I don't like those big headphones, those noise-canceling headphones walking through the street. You have to be aware. I only have one headphone in at all times when I'm out in public. I never have both. I don't want to not hear what's going on in the real world. And keep your eyes up. And I have to get better at this too. It's really, really scary. So the reason why I'm bringing this up today is because guess who came out in a comment section of one of these videos? Bethany Frankel. Bethany Frankel. And honestly, if this really happened to her, this is actually so sad or scary. But she says in a comment section to one of these videos that she was punched in New York City on a New York City street in a random attack. She essentially says in a comment, "This is insane because this happened to me a few months ago, but I was embarrassed to say it. I was on the Upper West Side, insane. I was taking video of a bakery." So she was probably going like this with her phone, you know, filming, or maybe talking to her, like talking to the camera, whatever. And she got punched. This is the craziest thing. Bethany, and this makes sense, was so nervous to bring this out in public because how many people would have just ridiculed her? And that's probably like why so many of these girls that are getting punched are finally coming out now. Even if it happened a week ago or whatever, because they're finding strength in numbers, it's like anyone that is, you know, you start to kind of almost blame yourself, or you think, what are people going to say? Like if I went right now onto my show and said, oh my gosh, I was just walking down the street and someone punched me, I would be probably nervous that someone out there would be like, of course they punch you, you're punchable, or like you should be punched or something, you know, you're so annoying. So of course people should punch. Anyway, I personally believe that Bethany probably freaked the F out thinking it was a personal attack. It was something against Bethany. But now this is like, you know, this is crazy. Like something needs to change in America. I don't really know about other states, other cities. I know LA needs some major, major shifting of control. There's just like the world is falling apart. So I don't know what's going on, but I really hope that, you know, Craig Conover can put on his foil hat and help us here. Something needs to like be rejiggered. Like we're in the upside down. We're in the upside down. We've taken the wrong path in the Back to the Future, like time travel. Remember when he gets off in 1985 and Biff is president and the whole country is like on fire? That's what I feel like just happened in the last few years since COVID. Well, since probably even before COVID, but COVID really is like the tip of the iceberg. I did read, I saw a TikTok the other day, a conspiracy theory where someone said the day Kobe Bryant died, everything went bad. And I was like, well, actually, he did die in January 2020. It's real bad. Craig needs to help us. We are like the world is falling apart. So I'm going to run for president. This is officially my announcement. I am running for president. On the ballot, you're going to have Donald Trump, Joe Biden, RFK Jr., and Donna Spaldina Bowling. Who's going to be my running mate? Okay, who's my VP? Who in the Bravo world? I want someone in the Bravo world to be my VP. I'll tell you who won't be, and that's Jaxie Poo. So let's get into our next stories. Before I do, I want to shout out the second sponsor of our show, and that is Dr. Motion Socks. I've talked about the compression socks already before. So many of you guys are jumping in my DMs saying you've bought them. If you are someone that's on your feet a lot, walking, a nurse, a teacher, a athlete, anyone that has to do a lot of movement, even if you're traveling a lot, that's a really important time to wear compression socks is when you're flying, because it's very dehydrating and it's bad for your circulation to fly. So compression socks are where it's at. DrMotionSocks.com is the way to go. If you wear your Dr. Motion socks, shoot me a DM and let me know. They are seamless. They have really supported arches. They like give your foot a hug. That's the best way I can describe it. It feels really good. And you know what? In these days where we just don't get a lot of love, it's good to give your foot some love. And Ashley from Real Housewives of Potomac gives Michael Darby a lot of foot rubs. But if you're not lucky enough to be married to Ashley Darby, get yourself some Dr. Motion socks. Okay, so we have a lot of VP decisions. Donna DeRee, 2024. Hi, my name is Donna Speldana, and I'm DeRee. I was still talking. Let me finish. I am wearing a Balenciaga blazer. And in my Balenciaga blazer, I believe that all kids should be homeschooled. And let me finish. Someone find me a new VP. Donna will be in Zara. I'll be in Zara and Dorit will be in Balenciaga. Phaedra, I would take Phaedra in a heartbeat. Phaedra, if Phaedra was my VP, I would get denounced. Like someone would try to off me so that Phaedra could move to president, like 100%. Okay, let's move into last night's TV as we have just 25 more minutes of the show. Okay, Vanderpump Rules. I'm going to be honest. Vanderpump Rules is getting more watchable. It's getting better. It is getting better. Now, here's a disclaimer. Are we ready? Here's a disclaimer. I want everyone to understand that there are many different opinions we can take on the show, and I'm just going to share with you mine. And the reason why I say this is because my opinion may not be your opinion, but it's still what I feel. So I'm going to share it, and I want to hear your opinions in the comments in a kind way. I hate to admit it, but Katie is growing on me. Okay. Now calm down, because she did some really horrible things in last night's episode as well. But Katie Maloney is growing on me. Lala Kent is officially my favorite girl on the show. Ariana doesn't do anything good or bad for me anymore. She's kind of just there. And Sheena, I'm allergic to Sheena right now. Like, I've never disliked anyone more than I dislike Sheena right now. Joe, that's Schwartz's kind of sort of hookup, maybe girlfriend, maybe roommate, maybe who knows what, has really like gotten a place in my heart. And those girls all together, Allie included, because when she's part of that group, turn into a group of five, you know, Fox Force Five. This is like Mean Girls Five. And it disgusts me to see when Lala, Sheena, Katie, Allie, and Ariana are all together in the show, just talking shit about Joe. Ew, ew, ew. I understand they don't like her. It's not a good look. That's all I can say about that. Okay. Maddie says, you turned us on to the after show and they are so mean. The after show on Peacock of Vanderpump Rules is what you need to watch. Find a way. Steal someone's password. Get into Peacock and watch this. It's really, really revealing. So a couple of important things that happen in the episode. At first, we have a Lala and Schwartz meet up at Creation Juice. By the way, I love a Creation Juice. And it actually reminded me that I don't go there that often. There's not one right by my house anymore. But that syringe thing, they used to have these shots with like lemon and salt and and cayenne pepper. And like every time you feel like you're getting sick, you just syringe it in. You know, it's kind of like, oh, I'm taking a shot, but it's like a Jello shot, whatever. Anyway, they sit and they have the most like strange produced scene together. Let's sit together and have juice. And Schwartz is just a bumbling idiot because he's like, I love being on benders. Like right now I'm on a sober bender. 3 days. Okay. As they talk, it just comes out. This is the moment where it comes out that he hooked up with Sheena. Oh my God. I didn't mean to tell you that. I love Lala's reaction. She's like, I'm sorry, what? Can we go back to that? Well, the story is that 10 years ago, 12 years ago, God knows how long ago, Sheena was engaged to Mike Shea. So this is like season probably 2 or 3 of Vanderpump Rules. And Katie and Tom were just boyfriend, girlfriend at that point. Tom was in Vegas. Sheena was in Vegas. Ariana was in Vegas. Not sure who else was there. And at this point, I guess the story is that Ariana, like, I can't even imagine this, but Ariana and Sheena were making out all over the place. And Sheena, even though Sheena's engaged to Mike Shea, like the whole thing is so weird. And I guess she gets pulled aside by Schwartz and he just tries to make out with her and she pushed him off and she was like, no, 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 let's not do that. I don't know if that is exactly how it went down. My guess is it's not, but I think that Schwartz is willing to go with whatever Sheena's version of the story is because he's so scared. I can't imagine seeing Schwartz being like, no, Sheena, you know, you kissed me back. I think he's so petrified to like get in the middle of that. But anyway, they end up having a conversation about that. Lala then decides to tell Katie. I appreciate this about Lala. First, she could have gone to Sheena, who's her like ride or die, or she could have gone to Katie. She decides to go to Katie. And the reason for that is because she knows that Katie is the person that needs to know about this before Sheena decides to tie it into a pretty bow. She also knows it's going to make really good TV for Katie to go to Sheena later. And Katie, listen, everyone's like, why does Katie care? It's so many years later. I get it. I get why she would care because for 10 years you've had a relationship with this man who never told you that he tried to kiss this other girl in the group. She's never told you, but I don't really blame Sheena. And I have to be honest because Sheena, to be honest, she was not close with Katie at all in those times. Katie actually was horrible to Sheena in those first seasons. So for Sheena to come home and be like, hey, Katie, by the way, Schwartz tried to kiss me randomly drunk in Vegas, it really wouldn't have done anyone a favor. I don't know. I hate to say it, but I just don't understand why Sheena would tell her. Sorry. Okay. We go to Hotel Ziggy. Hotel Ziggy is this West Hollywood hotel. Sheena annoyed the shit out of me within 5 seconds when she got there. And every second was like making sure her hair is perfect. And she's like, you know, I just wanted to dress like this because I just thought there was going to be a moment where I could do like a picture. Like, okay, no. Sheena is like the Peter Pan for girls. She needs to grow up. Why is she still living her life like all about image? Sheena's obsessed with her Instagram and photos and image. And it bothered me so much just in the middle of this like serious conversation that she's having with Katie. She's like checking her, making sure her hair is perfect. She's so in her head. She's so aware of herself. And then she mentioned about 46 times. It's like, I never really drink anymore, but like I'm drinking today. I don't really drink, but I'm drinking. Guys, I'm drinking today. I don't really drink, but I'm drinking today. Am I crazy? Or did she drink last week in the episode when they were at the Belmont, the bar that everyone takes good poops in? Am I crazy that she was like, I never drink, but I'm drinking tonight? She's like, I just got off Zoloft. That's what she said on the after show. I just got off Zoloft. No one was driving. I decided to drink. Okay. So, which by the way, no judgment on her drinking, but it's just annoying that she kept saying it out loud. Like something about her is like, you know how Garcelle calls Teddy a gnat? Sheena is the ultimate gnat, in my opinion, these days on the show this season. It's tough. It's tough to watch her. So she sits there, and the first part of Sheena that drove me insane was the way she treated Joe. Now, do I think Joe is someone that I would really connect with in real life? No. Do I think her energy is a little bit maybe off-putting and a little like out there? Yes. Do I think she deserved for Sheena to attack her over her hat over and over, like pulling off her hat, saying, I'm going to bully you over your hat. Take off your hat. You're a hairdresser. Why aren't you showing your hair? You should be showing your hair. I'm sorry, Sheena. Do you think that you and Joe are close enough that you could just like jump all over her and grab her hat off her head and tell her what she should wear? Sheena was showing such a mean girl vibe yesterday. I hated every second of it. I hated it. Like, especially because Sheena got so treated horribly when she first entered the group. Now, why do they hate Joe? They hate Joe because Joe was complicit and aware of what was happening between Raquel and Sandoval. But I want you guys to put yourself in Joe's shoes. Just you wait. I want you to put yourself in Joe's shoes about this. Joe loved Tom Schwartz. It's very clear. Joe had a friendship with Kristen. Got into the group, kind of. And I'm sure none of the women were ever very nice to her, but she connected with Tom Schwartz. Tom Schwartz is now single. Tom Schwartz now lives alone. She wants to get a little, you know, loving from Tom Schwartz. So Tom Schwartz says, I don't know what to tell you, but my buddy Sandoval and Raquel are having an affair. This is just an what if. We expect Joe to ruin her friendship with Schwartz, her relationship with Schwartz, who she really cares for and who treats her nicely, to then go and ruin Sandoval's relationship by telling Ariana. It's just not realistic. Joe and Ariana are not, we're never close, I don't think. From, yes, she spent a Thanksgiving at her house with a big group of people. Is that effed? Yeah. But I just think that like Ariana's blaming Joe for something that Joe, that's not Joe's place. Am I crazy? I don't know. I personally do not find, I don't know. I don't find it interesting and likable at all of that moment. It really turned me off at the way they treated Joe. And you could see she was physically going through a lot. She has ADHD. She explained that. Is that like an excuse for everything? No, but when you are struggling with focus and attention, and I don't want to get into ADHD, but you know, I have a lot of people in my life that are diagnosed. It's like, this was a really gross moment. And then what was even more gross is that the after show, which was filmed months later, didn't show really any remorse from them. Like they doubled down on it. Katie's like, if she's uncomfortable and not wanting to be here, then I did my job. Why? Why? Just awful. Awful. Another comment says, Pat says, I'd never be in Joe's shoes. I won't turn on my girlfriends for a man. But what if you're not, you're only their girlfriend because of the man? I don't think Joe and Ariana ever had a friendship. I don't think Joe and Katie ever had a real friendship. Maybe they did. Maybe they did. I don't know. It just feels like Tom Schwartz was the only one that was treating her kindly out of all those girls. I don't think that Katie and Sheena and all of them just turned on her in the last year. I think they've always been mean to her, just from what I've seen. So Katie has this conversation with Sheena. She kind of like says, hey, I don't really like that. Sheena's reaction is just obnoxious. It's very, you know, I don't know, you guys. I'm not going to be a good judge of character for Sheena right now. Like nothing Sheena can do right now is likable for me. She really bugged me. And then the way she treated Brock later even was 10 times worse. But whatever. Okay, let's move on. I don't know if anything crazy else happened. Oh, we had Sandoval trying to talk to Ariana. That was the most uncomfortable thing. Sandoval, why? Why'd you do it? You went up to Ariana in front of Lala and Katie to talk about your house and the attorneys. Like, read the room, dude. Read the room. Now, when we go to, and I have to get through this kind of fast, but then later we have we have an interesting dinner. The next day, we have an interesting dinner between Kate, Lala, and the guys. It's Lala, James, Tom, and Tom. It's a sober dinner. Does it feel a little weird that Lala is having dinner with them? Absolutely. I feel like it's a little bit like switching teams. It was a little strange for me. But for that reason, I do like that Lala is not going to do just the popular thing. For some reason, there is something about Lala, and Katie's the same way. Like, they will go and say and do whatever they want, regardless of, they're not pandering to an audience. Because Lala knows that this could be something that is really seen as like, you're not a girl's girl, whatever. And she still did it. You know, she's sitting there, and I like her ability because she recognizes that she's fucked up so many times in her past. She's able to see past people's F-ups. And I have to say, I find that very relatable. I relate to this because I do like to go past people's F-ups. There's too many people in my life that have fucked up. And if I held it against them forever and ever and ever, it would be so hard for my own life. Like, I personally think that when it's possible to make up for bad mistakes. It is in life, you know, with the right amount of remorse and apology and working on it. So I don't know. And maybe the reason you guys are asking in the comments, why do you like Katie more? I don't really know why. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I like Sheena so much less. Donna Bowling on Sheena's new song is called No Longer Good as Good. No longer good as gold. Like, Sheena is now good as cubic zirconium or whatever. Like, what's a fake gold? Okay, let's keep it moving on. So, the breathing session. We need to talk about Sandoval's breathing session. And if I wanted to scare the shit out of you guys, I would recreate it right now. Because what I tell you, I felt uncomfortable. I felt like I was watching porn. I was like, if my kids were in here right now, they'd be like, what are you watching, Mom? The sound of skin. It was so intense. It was so embarrassing for Sandy. It was so bad. Lala comes in. She's like, what is happening? It was a lot. Good as Plated Gold is the new song by Sheena Shea. But he has this breathing session. And I do, even if it's just for the show, I do appreciate the fact that he's actively trying to get better and trying to seem like he cares more and trying to, you know, do some self-work. And Lala and him have a really nice conversation. And I appreciated it. I don't know why. Why am I like this? But I like seeing redemption. I like seeing people change. I like seeing... Mark, you're such a jerk. He says, that's the sound that we make every time Donna logs on. It was too weird. Okay, but I do like seeing people change their minds. I like people admitting they're wrong, and I like people like lowering their guard and just like, and their wall, and just showing a little bit more ability to say, I could be wrong, or I could change my mind, or I'm not always right. It's growing up. There you go. Maria says, and Ray says, growth. Lala's growing up. That's why you like her. I do. Let me think what else, just because of time. So then we get to the final night where they're back at Something About Her. And this is almost, is this a joke now? Everyone is like, why are we doing this again? They literally had another sandwich tasting. We've seen this before. Yes, before they didn't have, you know, furniture and Something About Her. Now there's furniture and Something About Her. And they're doing a sandwich tasting and no one understands why the hell they're doing it. Like, everyone's like, we've done this before. We've eaten this before. But once again, we're going to promote the sandwich shop, which is still not open. Riddle me that. Anyway. They're eating sandwiches. They decide to head on over to Sir, of course, as you do with a bunch of people that you hate. Like, Katie and Ariana should not be at Sir with these people. I mean, why? But they go to Sir. Everyone's there, and they're hanging out. They show their sandwiches to Lisa and Ken. And shocking, Ken is still alive. I was actually very concerned for Ken for a while because we haven't seen him since the jacuzzi conversation. I think we maybe saw like a glimpse of him in a background one day. But I'm so glad to know that Ken is still alive. He's eating. He's red as ever. Like, does he even understand? Like, I wonder if Ken knows really what's happening. Like, does he get it? But it does make absolutely zero sense that in this conversation between Ariana, Katie, Lisa, and Ken, it makes absolutely zero sense that in this moment they decide to say, Sheena and Tom Schwartz made out 10 years ago. Like, that is not something you would talk to Lisa Vanderpump about in that moment. Why did they do that? But then, like a bumbling idiot, comes Schwartz with his two espresso martinis that he spills all over the table, and they go right into him. Schwartzy, stop walking into mine holes or whatever they're called, the minefields. You know that game where you like press the little boxes, minefield or whatever? I used to play it all the time on my like old school desktop. And you're like, it says there's three mines near you. Like, and so you have to kind of count around. Like, Schwartz is an idiot. He's like, oh, there's a bomb. I'm walking onto it. Like, landmines. He's such a dumbass. So then a few minutes later, of course, they're standing at the bar and Woody comes in. And what's so funny is Schwartz calls Tom Sandoval Woody, but Lance was watching with me and he goes, he looks just like Woody. It was crazy seeing Tom Sandoval walk down the street with a purse, a cowboy hat. I mean, that's not how you bowl. I don't know about you guys, but my last name is Bowling. So I feel like I have some say here. If I ever bowled with Sandoval and he showed up not only in that outfit, but with those strange moves that he did, like enough, I would literally roll him in a ball and throw him into the gutter. I would push him onto the oily surface and go, whoo! Minesweeper. I love it. So then Sandoval walks in. But before that, Brock and Tom are having a conversation. And this is when Brock really just like throws such a... like a wrench in everyone's plans. And I freaking love this. And this is about Sheena checking everyone's locations. His wife needs to go to sleep. Sheena needs to go to sleep at night because you know she spends, you know how you think your screen time is high? Sheena's screen time is 23 hours and 45 minutes. She is on her phone all day long, checking 56 people's locations. She has 56 people's locations in her phone. She's checking everyone's locations. She is checking what people are saying about her on Twitter. She's probably watching this podcast. What's up, Shishi? Anyway, Mark says Merce was also in his purse, in Tom Sandoval's. Merce was in Tom Sandoval's Merce. So she's checking, you know, everyone's locations. She finds out that Max Boyens, who used to be on Vanderpump Rules in that horrible season, I think it was season 9 or 8, Max Boyens went home with Katie Maloney, spent the night. And banged her. They banged. Now, Brock mentions this to Tom, and Tom's reaction is such a Tom reaction. Max? Only Tom Schwartz does not get mad at his friend, his best friend, for having sex with his ex-wife. If anyone's going to screw over anyone on any show without any repercussions, it should be Tom Schwartz. Literally, Tom Sandoval should have slept with, like, Tom Schwartz. There would be absolutely no idea. Now, everyone's saying if Sheena knew everyone's locations, how did she not know about the affair? Well, it's very well documented that Raquel turned her location off. She's talked about it before. We've heard about this before. Sheena has mentioned this before. Raquel turned her location off when she started hooking up with Tom Sandoval. And Sheena was like kind of confused by it, but she didn't question it. Anyway, the news comes out that she had sex with Max, and Sheena's so mad. She's so mad at Brock. How dare you mention this? How dare you? And the truth is that, you know, Sheena, like, you're putting this into everyone's brains. Sheena loved every moment of this. I'm not talking about it. I didn't bring it up. I didn't want to talk about it. Okay, so here's what happened. I ended up looking at his location, and I, you know, just wanted to make sure he was okay. And I asked him, where are you? Are you okay? And I thought maybe he was at this, blah, 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 back and forth. It's like, go to sleep. Go to sleep. I want Bethany to go to Sheena's house and say, go to sleep. Go to sleep. No wonder she has anxiety. No, seriously, no wonder Sheena has anxiety. Like, her brain doesn't shut down. I think she's like, bing, 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 like ping-pongy. Anyway, I share my location with one person or two people. I share my location with my son, who has a phone, and my husband. And if I need to, my sister or something. But like, why? Why are you sharing it with all your friends? It's weird. I think it's weird. That's like a new thing to do because we don't do it in our 40s. I think you only do that when you're in like your 20s or 30s. Anyway, the point is Katie did a revenge bang with Schwartz's best friend. And that's kind of where the episode ends around that time. Lala is like, what is happening in this crew? You're lying to you. You're lying to her. He's lying to him. She's lying to her. Like, enough, enough. And honestly, Lala, like, take us with you. Take us with you and take us out of Sir. This is just a cesspool of crap. Crap. Well, you guys, I have a 12 o'clock and I didn't realize how long today's show is going to go. So I'm going to have to ixnay on my Valley Talk for this. I will talk about it more tomorrow on tomorrow's episode, along with some other things. Thank you guys so much for being here and subscribing to Daily Dose of Donna. As you know, I'm here Monday through Friday. Subscribe to Patreon. Join for today's episode. You guys will really like this. And I will share my location with anyone that subscribes to Patreon. Just kidding. I'll share Sheena's location. I'm sure you guys all share locations. All right. I'll talk to you guys soon. Have an amazing Wednesday. Bye.